This is Tarello Institute for Legal Philosophy's podcast.
Welcome to the 8th session of our cycle of Meet Our Visitors. We are here with another visitor who came last month to the Institute. You will tell me if I'm pronouncing your name right. Evgenia Kopitsa.
Perfect.
Okay,
perfect.
Welcome.
Thank you for having me here.
Okay, so we may start with easy questions. Who are you? Where did you study?
Sure. I am an associate professor of mm-hmm. environmental law department of Yaroslav Mudry National Law University, which is based in Kharkiv, Ukraine. And I am from Ukraine, obviously.
Gasp.
Yeah.
But did you study in the same?
Yes.
University?
My whole life, was and spent in Kharkiv, mm-hmm. Ukraine. And yep, I graduated from school there. I entered the university where I am the professor now. Mm-hmm. So I've got my bachelor's degree, I got my master's degree there in Yaroslav Mudry National Law University. So yep, my whole life has been spent within the walls of one university.
And have you also always study law, or did you have?
I've got the one more diploma from Karazina National Law University, and this is the diploma of the teacher of English. Oh. For a reason, yes. Unexpected, but yeah, it was like some kind of humanitarian background also, and mm-hmm. I could have had an access to the free enrollment to that university because of some Olympiads which I took the place with, and I was given this kind of opportunity, so I took that opportunity. But yeah, my basic education was like studying law, which I would honestly say I wasn't always in love with.
Oh, please continue.
Yes, of course. Well, I have never seen myself as a lawyer in the future. Mm-hmm. And being the daughter from the medical family, I have always expected me becoming a medical student and then becoming a doctor. But life happens. And yeah, I found myself being enrolled to one of the best Ukrainian universities. Mm-hmm. Like that was specializing in law. I was expecting to find myself being somewhere in the office of the foreign minister, or becoming a foreign minister, because my faculty was preparing the specialists for environmental international foreign affairs mm-hmm. ministry, but didn't work. So somehow I found myself being the professor in university.
Oh.
And yeah, I love it. So I have never imagined myself being a teacher or a professor, but mm-hmm. here I am.
Well, I think that's amazing. So what are your areas of interest?
Thanks for asking this question. I'm just, you know, like this question always confusing me because it's very broad spectrum, because environmental law is kind of like a very complex mm-hmm. subject of law, sphere of law. So I'm the professor of environmental law department, and we are kind of universal soldiers over there. So we are covering basically all of the spheres that have any kind of connection with environment. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we are dealing with environmental law, and the specific areas of my expertise nowadays has been switched from the air quality to climate change. They are somehow interconnected within the Ukrainian legislation, so it happened to be that. So yeah, currently I'm just into the studies of the climate change law and the way it is being applied in Ukraine and how it is being developing in the countries around the world. So, but my PhD studies were devoted to the air quality standards, and it was mainly the research devoted to the mechanisms of identifying the proper legislative regulations in the area of air quality, and it was aimed at improving of the Ukrainian legislation within the expertise and like the development of the European one. So it was kind of like interdisciplinary research to a certain extent. So yep, something like that. And now I'm just with the climate change, and yeah, I'm happy about this because it's something very trendy nowadays, as you know.
Yeah, trendy between some people that are
Yeah.
negating it and some people that are.
Not among legal philosophers, I understand.
No, I was thinking more broadly
Okay.
in the sense of politics and then
Yeah, sure.
citizens.
Yeah, sure.
Can you tell us more about this last part, the climate change? What are you exactly trying to do right now?
I will try to because it's still the very undeveloped sphere in Ukraine. That's why actually it was the choice of mine once I decided to proceed with the further research after I've defended my PhD. And that's what made me think that like air quality is of course like a well very up-to-date topic also, but anyway it's a little bit less appealing to me than the climate change. And to a certain extent, it's interconnected. So it's kind of very undeveloped sphere nowadays in Ukraine because we mainly are implementing the like provisions of the international documents. So mainly my study has started within the investigating of how the current lack of the legal regulation in Ukraine can be covered, like taking into consideration the implementation of the European like legislation and the like how to adapt, for example, European Green Deal to the Ukrainian reality. But currently I am proceeding with well amazing ideas that I got being inspired by being here with the legal philosophers, and I found that there is a very interesting legal philosophical aspects of the climate change, and that's very very appealing to me, and like made me think about the problem of the climate change not only from the regards of these like legislative gaps and lack of the normative background, but also from the point from the philosophical point of view. And if it wasn't me here, if it wasn't you here for me, I would never come up with this kind of vision. So yeah, it's incredibly challenging and very interesting interdisciplinary like approach toward the climate change. So yeah, I think that I will proceed for a certain period of time with this kind of research, trying to take into consideration this philosophical aspect of the normativity of the climate change.
That is a very interesting thing, the normativity of climate change. Can you tell us an example of these philosophical approaches that you are?
I'm not that experienced yet. I only started
Your
with.
ideas.
Yeah, oh, wow, that's interesting because climate change is actually the whole environmental law is very politically dictated and interconnected, and this is one of the interesting observations that most of the people have been ignoring, that like most of the agendas like environmental agendas are closely interconnected with the political agendas, and that is obviously from the historical perspective. It's obvious from the historical perspective, starting from the Stockholm Conference, the one that created the background for the whole environmental law development. I mean, the Stockholm Conference 1972, proceeding with the other outstanding events like Rio de Janeiro Conference 1992 on sustainable development, and proceeding with all of the next ones. One of the interesting observations that well, it has like this observation have been made by like experts were made by experts like years ago, that environmental law is very politically inclined and very politically associated. So that's the same happens with the climate change, and the same happened that the priorities of the climate change goals are very much interconnected with the politics of every single country. And nowadays we can see it with the ongoing war in Ukraine also, that the drawbacks of the climate change mitigation and adaptation, but mainly mitigation, has a lot to do with the lack of the political will and the lack of the political development moving towards, now actualizing, like making, prioritizing the climate change goals over the economic development. And that is like a very interesting scope of the research to be done, trying to find the interconnection between the economic development, social development, and the climate change priorities. And yeah, that's one of the observations that I could like share from the scratch. And yes, again, like the war showed it all, that if the European Union hadn't been dragging their feet towards shifting to from the fossil fuels, Russian fossil fuels dependency, like decades ago, or at least when the Russian invasion of 2014 started, maybe this war wouldn't have happened. So that's like kind of like again the example of the great politically engagement in the approaching of the climate goals, and now it will be very actively prioritized. So actually currently I'm looking into the aspects of how the climate policy is being changed as the result of the Russian-Ukrainian invasion 2022, and like how the countries are responding and how this normative shifts are going on together with like accompanying the shifts, the climate shifts and climate transitions, and like the development transitions. So yeah, mainly something like that.
That's a very interesting idea from scratch, I think.
Thanks.
But connected to this, you said that you were a professor and that you really liked teaching.
Yeah.
What can you tell us about your teaching work?
We have had very interesting relationship with teaching, because like before I became a professor, I was rejecting the idea of teaching at all, because like, no, I'm not there for teaching. I loved it from the very first class I think I had, because the response you've got from the students, like it's an amazing reaction that I think can be associated with some kind of drug addiction. Because once you have felt the response from the audience, and once you have felt the energy from the audience of students, and once you have seen the involvement and the interest of theirs, you are hooked. And you proceed with getting this dopamine rise every single time you're going to the next class. So, yep, I like my teaching a lot. And I became an associate professor like not so long ago. I mean, like about a year ago. And like, but I was conducting lectures since I think, oh, I have been doing that for like about 7 years. And I was absolutely amazed with this kind of experience, because when you are in front of the audience and you are delivering the information and you can feel that response, that's amazing. So while never been associating myself with being a teacher or being a professor, like before I entered the university, I'm definitely sure that this is where I should be. I'm not sure that my students share the same experience, like the same idea, but...
Well, what do you teach?
I teach environmental law of Ukraine. And I teach international and European environmental law. And yeah, basically these are two main courses that I'm involved in teaching. And that's it. And while here, I will be involved in some other kind of activities, but they haven't been all of them outlined yet. But yeah, for now I'm like the current teacher, teach like professor of environmental law.
And what are you doing here while you're in Genova?
Oh, whoa, that's a matter of luck, coincidence, and war.
Okay,
Yeah.
let's hear it.
Yes. Amazing combination. Yeah, on the 24th of February, war started. And as any Ukrainian, we had to look for some quick and not that quick solutions because everything looked incredibly unstable back then. And I was lucky to be approached by one of the professors of the Torello Institute, and it's Alessandro, right? Alessio, Sandro, right. I'm very bad with remembering names overall, so I usually apologize in front of my students from the very first class that I will be awful in pronouncing somebody's names, even despite the fact that they're in Ukrainian. Yeah, that's not that is one of the biggest problems of mine. The luckily I was provided by the opportunity from the Torello Institute. I think it was like around the month after the Russian invasion started. After the Russian invasion started, and that's why I was kindly invited here, given all of the conditions to proceed with my studies in my native university. And I was invited to proceed with some visiting professorship. It was kind of an amazing help and support that was given to me as a Ukrainian refugee, which I appear to be. I'm here because of war and because of luck, and I feel incredibly grateful for being here, and despite all of the circumstances that brought me, I'm really, really, really excited to see the way how the institution like you is working, how the processes are organized, and I would say that you are one of the kindest people and smartest people I have ever met in my life. Of course, except from my native university, but no. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to compare and to be able to share the experience of mine and to get your experience. That's a very precious thing that any Ukrainian can help nowadays, can get nowadays, and this is an incredibly great help also. I'm here just because this started, and I'm one of the lucky people who managed to find a very safe and supportive place.
Well, thank you very much for this interview, and we hope that your stay here will be, we hope that it will be long, but not because of the circumstances, but because you decide to maybe be here for a longer time than the
Thank you.
circumstances allow.
Thank you a lot.
Well,